We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. Welcome again to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 120 in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me as always, Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens in Wausau, Wisconsin. Welcome back, Anessa. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been, a week and a half.
I mean, it's no Matt Stein leaving...
venturing everywhere, but he's a busy fellow.
Yeah, but
and we managed to catch him on Saturday, so this coming weekend we're gonna see him on Saturday, because I asked him, like, so do you have any plans for Saturday? And he's like, let me check. He's like, I'm busy Friday and I'm busy Sunday, but I'm free on Saturday.
Oh, sweet. For those of you who have no idea who we're talking about, Matt Stein is our co-host on our other podcast, the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. He's a great guy.
So we're going to go see him, and we're going to give him bottles and bottles of sauces from Whataburger.
Sweet. All right. Brad, how you doing?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Good. Anything going on in your world?
Recovering from a cold. That's pretty much it.
Okay. I don't know what to say about that. Congratulations. Yeah. Is that what you say?
Glad you feel better. Well,
it blew over quickly, which was very nice. I think I started to get sick on Saturday. It was Saturday. Yeah. I felt better this morning. And it just drained the energy. I wasn't coughing a whole lot. I wasn't sneezing a whole lot. I was sneezing a little bit at the beginning, but it just was draining. But that's passed, so we're good.
All right. Well, I'm having a weird week because I get to celebrate my first Canadian Thanksgiving this week. Thanksgiving's next Monday, which is really, really weird.
Well, at least it justifies all the Thanksgiving decorations being out in the stores this early.
Yeah, exactly. Well... it's probably earlier for us than for you guys. We're probably getting them, I don't know, a month before you guys.
Probably?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas are currently in Walmart.
Yeah. I don't like that at all. I'm not a big fan. Let's do one holiday at a time before we move on to the next one.
I was in Del Rio, and it's like, oh, look, there's Halloween, and there's this Thanksgiving-themed Christmas tree. And then as you walk further in the store, like, the last couple of aisles are just Christmas.
It's like a time-space continuum thing. You're, like, going through, like, time portals in the store.
Pretty much. The further back you go, you go forwards in time.
All right. Hey, this is the show, the Netcast, the podcast, where we talk about everything aliens, including their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. When we say aliens, we're talking extraterrestrials. The show is divided into three sections. The news, that's what we start with. The Craft Corner, the spotlight of a certain kind of alien spacecraft. And our picks for the week. If you want to watch us do the show live, just follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And we'll be putting out a notification and a link as to where you can do that. So, without further ado, let's get the show on the road. I'm trying to find the right... soundboard, here we go.
In the news.
Oh, I forgot to play this for your return there, Anessa. Here we go.
We're back! We're bad. You're black. I'm mad.
There you go. In honor of your return.
Thank you.
Woo!
But none of us are black.
No.
No.
No. Even spending plenty of time out in the sun, I just don't get that dark.
Yeah.
Although I do get darker.
Yeah, I'm sure darker than Brad or I. We're both, Brad, what nationality are you? What's your native, not your native, but your nationality?
50% Norwegian, so yeah, fairly Nordic.
Yeah, 50% Norwegian here. So, all right. So, are you guys ready for more Independence Day 2 news?
Sure.
This is like the story that will not die. I swear to God, we've been talking about a sequel to Independence Day since we started this podcast three years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
But this time it's from one of the cast members, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, there you go.
In an interview with Time Magazine, says that he's been in contact with producers Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin. And, yeah, they talked about potentially reprising his role as David Levinson in Independence Day 2 or ID4 Forever or something. What was some of the names that were bandied about, Brad, that we've talked about in the past for the sequel? ID Forever or something like that, wasn't it?
Because Independence Day 2, Bigger, Badder, and Uncut?
Yeah, that's it.
No, I thought it was I thought it was Independence Day. Yeah, ID Forever,
okay.
Or ID something like
ID,
that.
ID. We couldn't get Will Smith, so here's our crappy movie.
Yeah.
ID Will Smith was asking for too much money.
Yeah. So we had to shorten the title. That's why.
Yeah, couldn't afford him.
Couldn't afford full words, so we just went with ID4. Okay, yep. So here's what Jeff Goldblum had to say in this interview. And pardon me if I screw this up, because he this is exactly the way Jeff Goldblum talks. You know, his characters in all of his movies, he talks like that in real life. And this is what he had to say. It's kind of fractured. I had a meeting and have been talking over the last several months or year with Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin, the producer, and they've been cooking up and say they have a part for me in what they hope will be a plan to make another one pretty soon. They're still making or talking about it, and I've heard recent rumblings here and there about it. And, oh, there's a script coming in. Maybe last weekend there was a script handed in, so it's brewing. See what I mean? He's kind of just all over the place. There has been talk.
It's like having a conversation with me.
Yeah. No, it's very similar. I could totally see that. The rest of the story is just basically kind of talking about the history of the sequel, or them trying to get a sequel in theaters. And like we said, top of the story, we've been talking about this forever. There's been two parallel scripts, one with Will Smith and the other without Will Smith. And I'm thinking that, although, you know what? Will Smith's, his last few movies have not done that well. So I'm thinking that maybe his price might be dropping as the years go by. So maybe that's their plan. They've drugged this out long enough that his price will come down low enough for them to be able to afford him.
Maybe. Well, I mean, he doesn't have quite the same draw as he used to in the box office. So I think, yeah, that's kind of their thing, is they're kind of waiting it out to see, like, well, if he puts out like another movie or two and they kind of fizzle out at the box office, then he'll be willing to talk about a contract within our price range. So,
yeah, I think the last good movie that he was in was Men in Black 3.
Yeah, and that one didn't do that well, did it?
Yeah, it did
all right.
As well as the others, but I mean, it was way better than 2.
Yeah, it was a much better story than 2. And After Earth wasn't that bad.
Oh, I keep on forgetting about that. That's a great movie. I love that movie. We've watched it like a number of times here at the Nelson household.
I tried watching it when I was flying back, and for some reason, maybe I just wasn't in the mood for After Earth, but their accents really got to me, because they weren't quite a Southern accent. It was just this weird accent that didn't really quite go Southern, or it wasn't really quite British, but, you know, instead of saying sir, it was like suh.
Well, I think what they were trying to go for was, and there was a whole big backstory to that movie that was never told, because they didn't have time to actually explain what was going on about how humanity left Earth and all these different, you know, peoples of the Earth kind of got thrown in together, so maybe that's one of the reasons why their accents were a little bit wonky.
Probably, but I think they should have just gone with a non-regionalized accent, as opposed to trying to make an accent that's meshed with different accents, I guess. So, I don't know. It really bugged me, and I didn't get very far into the movie. I'll have to give it another try whenever I'm not hanging out in the airport for 6 hours.
Speaking of accents, have you guys noticed that almost every single big, like, Doctor Who star is on American TV doing an American accent now? Because,
well, it's not even just Doctor Who. It's just there's a lot of British and Australian and New Zealand people, actors and actresses that are here in the States with an English or an American accent. So it's weird to see. I haven't had a chance to see Dennett and Grace Point yet. But I saw a selfie with Karen Gillan. And it's kind of weird. Like, she does a lot of the, I don't know, she was really annoying for that first half of the show. And I know that's what they were going for, but I think she was more annoying than they had intended just because of, like, her voice. She did a lot of the, like, oh my god, vocal fry sort of thing.
Okay.
And that just really got to me. But the second half of the show, I think, was a lot better. And she was a little less annoying. Voice-wise, if we're just going off of voices, her voice was amazingly annoying during
the
first half.
Well, I saw maybe 5 minutes of Grace Point, and Tennant's voice is good. His accent's good. I just can't get over the fact that he's doing an American accent. What I do recommend is you guys watch The Leftovers with Christopher Eccleston, because he is awesome. He's really, really good in that show.
Well, he's just really good in everything.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome.
But no, I'd like to give that a look-see. But yeah, and it's just weird because you get used to hearing certain actors and actresses with an American accent, and then you hear them with their native accent, and it's just weird. Like, I totally forgot that Hugh Laurie was British because of how long he was on House, and then I went back and, you know, rewatched a few episodes of A Bit of Fry and Laurie, and I'm like, what's this?
Yeah, and then the other guy from House, who's now on Chicago Fire, I can't remember how he sounds like with whatever accent. He was either British or Australian, I forget.
Yeah.
He does a really good job with his American accent.
Yeah, as does Jamie Bamber, Apollo from Battlestar Galactica. He did a really good American accent. I didn't realize he was British till they were interviewing him. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't sound like Apollo at all.
Yeah. Okay, we ended up way off topic. I apologize. But yeah, Jeff Goldblum hinting at his return to Independence Day 2. All right, let's move on to the next big story, aliens and Bigfoot. What's this all about, Anessa?
Bigfoot! Yay, Bigfoot! So the big question is so far people have not really had any luck with actually getting physical evidence of Bigfoot. They claim they have, and then the tests come back, and it's like, oh, it's just hair off of a squirrel or something. It's bear spit. But there are some people that are starting to think, or they've been thinking for a while, that there is the possibility that Bigfoot, while, you know, he's always been viewed as a simple woodland creature that is also elusive, but they're starting to think that maybe he's actually alien. He's from outer space. He's an extraterrestrial, or that he's a ghost. Some sort of apparition, some sort of interdimensional species. So UFOs and Bigfoot. Bigfoot is commonly sighted in wooded areas, especially up in the northeastern part of the United States, say Pennsylvania. And in November, speakers will be discussing the possibility of Bigfoot being an extraterrestrial being at the upcoming Mutual UFO Network of Pennsylvania 7th Annual Pittsburgh UFO Creature Conference. So if anyone happens to be in the Pennsylvania area and they're free on November 8th,
oh my God,
You should totally go check out this conference and let us know how it goes.
Report back. That would be awesome to get a man on man like eyewitness report of this, because that sounds like some good stuff.
So it's slated for November 8th at the Westmoreland County Community College near Youngwood, Pennsylvania. There are two different fields of thought, as I already mentioned, with Bigfoot. One, that Bigfoot is flesh and blood, and two, that he is interdimensional or alien, said Fred Saluga, MUFON's West Virginia State Director and Pennsylvania Regional Director, who is scheduled to speak with Brian Seach, Director of the Center for the Unexplained, in a presentation called Bigfoot and Mysterious Creatures. And MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, has been investigating unexplained occurrences since its founding in 1969, and many of these occurrences have involved Bigfoot. And Fayette County, Pennsylvania, has been notorious for Bigfoot sightings for many years, said Saluga, a former police officer, noting that people have made reports in Uniontown, Dunbar, and along the Chestnut Ridge. But a Bigfoot creature has never been captured, which leads some to wonder if it might be ghost or alien. It's like someone put him down and then picked him up. Is that possible for a flesh and blood animal? Asked Saluga. If you think about it, we'd have found something if it was flesh and blood, said Bob Behanna, the Section 6 director of PA MUFON. To further the argument, investigators say that there are incidents where Bigfoot and a UFO have been seen in the same area.
Whoa! Mind blown.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hang on, we got something for that. All right, I'm ready. Say that again.
Okay. To further the argument, investigators say that there are incidents where Bigfoot and a UFO have been seen in the same area. One of these incidents happened in the countryside near Uniontown on October 25th, 1973, when witnesses saw a glowing object in the sky that landed in a pasture and two Bigfoot creatures came out of the woods. In another Fayette County episode that took place in the mountains in 1974, a woman reported shooting a Bigfoot that she discovered at her back door. The creature disappeared. While no creatures have been captured, investigators have found strange tracks in areas where Bigfoot have been sighted. Saluga has a cast of a large four-digit track made in 1979 in Pittsburgh's North Park. While some may scoff at the idea that Bigfoot could be alien, Saluga said, until we find out what they are, there are no experts.
You know what? At least I hardly ever hear about stories of Bigfoot on the East Coast. It's more like in the Rockies, it seems like.
Well, I've heard in the East Coast and along the Appalachia is where I've heard of Bigfoot more so than the Rockies.
Oh, well, Appalachia, Bigfoot's probably just some drunk hillbilly that's really hairy.
It's probably one of my dad's cousins. It's fine.
That'd be funny. So. No, that's just Jim.
that's Jim Bob. It's cool. So, yeah. I think it's an interesting idea, but I don't really see Bigfoot as being alien because it just seems silly. It's along the lines of, I think we may have talked about this before, but the chupacabra is being a potential alien species, and it's just like some pet left behind by aliens from another planet. And to me, this is kind of the same thing. I mean, why would you bring Bigfoot and just drop him off and then pick him up at random if he's just hanging out in the woods? I mean, I guess maybe he's a scientist doing research?
Or it's just the aliens.
Woodland creatures?
Or maybe it's just aliens just messing with us.
It's not even a living thing. It's just a robot that they programmed to wander around. Hey. When the battery's low, they pick it up, they charge it, and set it back down.
it's to keep us humans on edge.
Yeah, keep us paranoid. So, yeah, I came across that and thought that was kind of interesting. And, yeah, if anyone happens to be listening and they live in near that area where this conference is going to be held, you should totally check it out and let us know
cool.
how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. And our voicemail number, you can call in your report, 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. All right, thank you, Inessa. Let's move on to third and final story. Brad, I like this story a lot. What do you got?
IO9 put together some of the weirdest reasons why aliens created humanity in science fiction. Now, we're only going to cover a couple of them, but going to go over two of the big ones that really caught my attention. Now, the whole premise of this is everybody, what we look for in the science is about finding answers, right? We want to know how we got here. We talked about panspermia. How did life come to exist on this planet? And that intrigues. It's an intriguing premise for science fiction. So one of the first ones as a type of an explanation from this list, and we're gonna you'll be able to get the link to the IO9 story to get the entire list. But the first one that intrigued me was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Now, according to that story, the purpose of humans were to find the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything. So the Earth was created to be an intelligent computer, but all the life and everything on it sort of contributes to this whole computing power, this massive computer, which is Earth. Unfortunately, well, if you've read this story, the Earth is destroyed before it can spit out the ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it or read it.
If you haven't read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by now, well, first off, if you haven't, go read it because it's fantastic. And then read the next two books. I'm trying to think if it's the... No, So Long and Thanks for All the Fish is where you should stop. The one after that was bitter and horrible.
If you don't...
It's like somebody dared Douglas Adams, hey, write a fifth book out of your trilogy where you've already written four books. And he went, no, and I'm going to end this in a way that you'll never have another one ever again.
And if you don't have time to read the books, at least either watch the movie, because the movie's not that bad, or listen to the BBC drama version of the story, because that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Or they can watch the TV show, because, I mean, didn't it initially start out as the radio thing?
And it started as a radio. It got, yep, it was a radio play first, then it became the book, and then it got optioned by BBC to make a video version of it.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's distinct differences between all three of those versions, but I recommend the radio play for sure. It's very, very entertaining. The movie was okay. It had Martin Freeman in it.
Yeah, Zooey
Deschanel.
If anything, get it for those two people, or watch it for those two people.
And Sam Rockwell he's always good in anything that I've ever watched. Okay, next, Doctor Who, Image of the Fendal. Now, this is a classic Tom Baker episode, which explains that humankind was really only put on Earth to resurrect an ancient space monster who is Death.
Wow.
So yes, this skull, essentially, the Fendal, puts its essence inside of the skull. There's a pentagram on it, so, I mean, there's all sorts of foreboding in it, and why it's a pentagram, nobody knows. This is from millions of years in the past. The skull reprograms the DNA of all life on Earth until it leads to humans. Did you catch that?
Yeah, got it.
The Fendal dies. It leaves this skull in its pentagram glory, and its purpose is to change DNA so ultimately it leads to humankind, which then in turn gives way to this Professor Fendelman. Did you catch that? Fendal, Fendelman. So that he does experiments to work with time. He actually creates a time visualizer, or some kind of a way to a portal through time, which kind of leads to, as I recall, I'm mixing them up. Sorry. I was thinking, I can't remember which. It's the one with the Egyptian stuff, Tom Baker episode.
You got me. I'm not really up on my Tom Baker episodes. That seems like a lot of work, a lot of steps to take to get to the final what they want.
I'm mixing Pyramids of Mars. Anyways, the sole purpose of the skull, like I said, is to reprogram DNA so that it leads to this Dr. Fendahl creating the time visualizer and creating a kind of a satanic science cult. talk about a long game, you know, playing the long game to make something happen. Literally millions of years waiting for this to happen. So a lot of and there's a couple of, there's one from Heinlein. I believe humankind was designed, or humankind's purpose technically was to develop a part for an alien race, which is very, very weird, not necessarily convoluted, but just different explanations for why life, why humankind would come to be on Earth. So like I said, go to the link in the show notes. You'll be able to see the whole rest of the list from IO9. But it's a very interesting read, and it might give way to you checking out some other alien-based sci-fi that you might really, really enjoy. So,
because this show, if nothing, is a good source for discovery. We give you things to discover that you may never have thought of before.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're out in the trenches, finding the sci-fi with aliens in it, bringing it back to you so that, boy, that sounded really pompous.
We investigate. No. We turn this around, make it a TV promo. We investigate the story so you don't have to. coming up tonight at 6, is Bigfoot really an alien? We'll have the details.
Oh, wait, sorry. We have to do the 60 Minutes approach. Tonight on Alien Invasion.
How do you just have that standing by? What is that, an actual clock?
No, that's an effect in Google Hangouts.
Oh, okay. You ever wonder... That's my Andy Rooney.
Yeah, there's your Andy Rooney. Nice.
You ever wonder why the aliens are always gray with big eyes? You ever wonder why humans are always getting anally probed?
Let's just leave that one out. I want that to be a soundbite on your soundboard.
Because we're full of crap.
I would love to have that be a soundbite on your soundboard.
All right.
Just saying.
Okay, that's your news. Hey, let's talk about... Oh, we already talked about that. We already talked about the ways of giving us feedback. But let's go over it again. Let's review. So quiz time. Brad, what's the email address if somebody has something they want to say about the stuff that we've talked about?
I got my eyes closed. I'm sure you can see that right now. galacticnetcasts@galacticnetcasts.com.
No, that's incorrect. Sorry.
Oh, how about galacticnetcasts@gmail.com?
Sorry, you got it wrong the first time. I'm going to have to give that point to Anessa. Anessa gets that point. All right, Anessa, your question is, what's the voicemail number? What's the voicemail number, Anessa?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry,
yeah.
I was talking. I didn't hear you. You specified me. Well, I'm going to look at the screen because I don't have it memorized. It's 805-328-3966.
Okay, 805-328-3966. If you have anything that you want to say about this show, how awesome we are, about the awesome topics that we've discussed, or that you think we're the worst show ever produced in the podcasting industry, let us know by either of those two ways.
Or you can also text us at that number, can't you, Dave?
Yes, you can. 805-328-3966. Text us now. Go ahead, leave a text. Boom. All right, let's do this.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black triangular three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
That groovy little intro means it's Time for Craft Corner, a look at the alien spacecraft of the week. And Anessa, you've got like the non-shaped shape this week.
I've got the shape that changes in all the shapes. And thus concludes Craft Corner.
Okay. Let's move on. Picks, what do you got?
Moving on, it's just the one on spacecraft. Just kidding. So yeah, the spacecraft that I came across is one that changes shape. And some of those shapes we've actually talked about previously.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Because it changes shape, there was no definitive description, because it just seemed to change into different shapes.
So we don't know what the original shape is of the shape changing
ship. We don't
know
what the original shape is. I just have a few sightings to go off of, and one of them is from, I can't think of the name of the actual website.
MUFON?
National UFO, not MUFON.
Oh, National Reporting Site.
It's the National UFO Reporting Center.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got just a bunch of them saying changing. So they all seem to change shapes. And a lot of them are recent, within the past few months. Some of the more recent ones would be September 27th in Brampton, Canada. Lasted a duration of 2 minutes, and it was dim and blurry, slow-moving UFOs. Close grouping, or one object grayish with some dark red, shifted circular to triangular shape. Bum, bum, bum. In Urbana, Maryland, on September 22nd, these are all this year, flickering light moving in circles and odd patterns, speeding up then stopping, and that lasted for about a half hour. And in Highland Ranch, Colorado, on August 16th of this year, a sighting lasting for about 15 minutes in duration was an orange orb that splits into four colors and moves together in the sky in various directions. And then another website that I came across also had this more verbose description of a sighting here in the States. It says, in the U.S., a Baptist pastor, while traveling with his family on Highway 64, observed a silver aluminum object on June 2nd, 2002, flying above the mountains. The object was flying up and across at 100 feet above the mountains, and the pastor says that when I first noticed the object, it was in the shape of a box and about the size of a small private plane. I tried to show it to my family, and I was pointing where to look. Taking my eyes off of it for a moment, it changed to a round bottom cup shape without the handle, the round section being at the top. The sighting lasted about 30 seconds. The craft was not in a hurry, but seemed to be just cruising around. I don't know how it disappeared. I lost sight of it trying to point it out to my family after looking away for just a second. So, and that was from, I believe, u4th.com. Their descriptions are a little more verbose, a little more detailed, which is nice. But if you just want quick blurbs and seeing some of the shapes, circular to triangular, apparently cup shape, there's been some that were square shaped, some that were just kind of a blob looking shape that just initially when it started out, some of them break into multiple parts and fly around. But it's just kind of interesting that there's spacecraft out there, or you know, potential aliens that could be able to change shape and colors. So I mean, some of these might be airplanes flying in formation, and just given the direction that they're watching the spacecraft coming in at, it could be coming towards them, and then as they start to change course, they see that it's actually four planes as opposed to just, you know, one. Or it could be extraterrestrial. So it's just really hard to say. And I think, honestly, just some of these that I've read, it makes me think of perhaps a really bright star on the horizon, such as Sirius or Spica, I think, is another one that's fairly bright. And once it starts to get low on the horizon, depending on how much turbulence and debris and stuff you've got going on up there, it causes these stars to really twinkle like crazy. And they just seem to change shape and color as you watch them. And just, I guess, the way things work with your eyes and brains communicating, it also makes it look kind of like it's moving. And even planets beginning to set can have kind of the same effect, too. I've had, back when I used to work at UNT, I had a guy that would call. He called a few times in the evening, the next day after seeing this sighting, and he would insist that it wasn't a star, it wasn't a planet, but just the general direction of what he was talking about and the time of day that he was seeing this, basically like right around sunset, low on the horizon, lots of twinkling. And the time of here, I'm like, it's Venus. It's definitely Venus. He's like, no, it's not Venus. If it's there tomorrow night, if it's there tonight, I'm calling you tomorrow. And he did that for like 2 or 3 days in a row. And then he called, I think, like a week or two later. He's like, if it's still there, I'm going to call you. And then he never called again because I think he finally just accepted the fact that it was Venus.
Well, if it's still there, then it's obviously something that's not an alien craft, right?
Yeah, it's not. And I mean, you know, like, things such as, like, Venus, it doesn't rise very high anyway, so it's not up for an extended amount of time, such as other planets in the sky, like Saturn or Jupiter, whenever they are up and visible, so at certain times of the year. So Venus is one of the ones that have a short visibility span in the morning and in the evening, and that's pretty much it. You're not going to go out at, like, midnight and see Venus. It's gone. She has set, or she hasn't even risen yet, so...
But if you did actually have an alien craft, I guess a shape changing craft would be the way to go, because you could actually change your craft into like something that would be on Earth anyways, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could totally blend in with everything, or you could change your shape so much to where if anyone were to see you and they were to report what they saw, they wouldn't believe you anyway. Because you would just sound ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe they're shape changing into what looks like Venus. It's not really Venus.
It's not really Venus. There is no Venus.
Dun, dun, dun.
See how I brought that back
there
around?
There are no other planets.
All right, good. Good stuff. I just had a thought that maybe if somebody had an idea as to a craft that they would like us to cover as part of the Craft Corner, they can leave us feedback, 805-328-3966 or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. I'm looking for any reason to throw those contact number and email in. So if you think... If you think Brad should wear a black T-shirt next week, email us galacticnetcasts@gmail.com or 805-328-3966. We'd love to hear your feedback. Black T-shirt for Brad next week. Yay or nay? We want to hear from you.
I vote for blue. Is that an option?
No, black.
Oh, fine.
All right. Is that all you got, Anessa? Are you done?
I think I'm done.
All right. But we're not done. We still got picks here. And I think I have found the coolest pick that I've seen in a long time. It's called The Great Martian War. Did you know that we actually went to war with the Martians?
What?
Yeah, Brad told me about that. Oh, wait. Oh, he didn't? He sounded surprised. Never mind.
Okay.
What?
Oh, you were thinking something else. I just threw you for a loop.
Oh. I've seen your pick, and I thought that was really cool.
Okay, yeah. It's been floating around this week. It's somebody came up with the awesome idea of actually superimposing these Martian tripod-type crafts or things that you might have seen on, like, War of the Worlds, and actually put them in real World War I footage of battle. So it looks like we're having this huge, like, epic battle with the Martians, but like back in the early 1900s, like the early, what would you call the early 1900s, between 1913 and 1917? What era is that?
Would have been World War One.
I know, but what is there an era?
Oh, that's early 1900s. Early 20th century.
Okay. But there's no cool name for that?
No, it's not like the Roaring Twenties or the
Victorian era?
Great Depression. That was the 1800s.
Okay. Yeah, it was late 1800s.
Okay. I know, I'm just throwing it out there if there's no name for it.
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right.
It's the 19th.
But if our listeners know what it is, they can always contact us and let us know, right, Dave?
You sure can, Brad. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com, 805-328-3966. We'd love to hear from you if you know the name for that era in time. It was a really cool concept that these people did. And here's the description of the video. On its 100th anniversary, The Great Martian War tells the story of the catastrophic events and unimaginable horrors of 1913 and 1917 when humankind was pitted against a savage alien invasion. With powerful and detailed First World War parallels, The Great Martian War fuses sci-fi fantasy with specialist factual history to explore the real-world tragedies and unique horror of World War I, which it is really kind of surreal to see how well it fits in. Like, just imagine these huge monstrosities wreaking havoc, you know, across our lands. And that's exactly what happened during World War I. So it fits it almost too well. But I would definitely suggest that you check it out. We'll have the link in the show notes. It's not that long of a video. I'm thinking it's only a few minutes.
No.
Not a whole lot of your time. So what you do is if you want to find out where that link is, email us, galacticnetcast@gmail.com. No. Subscribe to the podcast, and we'll have the links in the show notes where you can view it for yourself.
Sorry, I didn't mean to snort that loud. You caught me off guard.
So what did you guys think of this? Did you both of you guys watch this?
Yeah, I think Brad actually showed it to me the other day.
It's seamless.
Yeah, it's really great. I recommend people giving it a watch. Another thing that's kind of similar, just not really alien-themed, is someone's turned these old black-and-white photos into animated GIFs, and they've done some really weird and creepy things. Like, one of them is like this lady standing there against a wall, and her arms just moving up and down. Rubbing against the wallpaper, and then some other ones have kind of a Cthulhu-esque vibe to them.
That is like creepy.
In the background, in the mist, and that's kind of what that makes me think of. But I think it's just really cool in general that people take the time and they're, you know, have that. I love that people are creative, and they put their creativity on the internet for other people like me to go like, wow, that's really cool.
We have a great mashup society. What a different angle to take would be something that I believe that we discussed on an early episode of The Alien Invasion. There was this series of paintings that somebody had superimposed aliens and like alien craft and like big monsters into. You guys remember talking about that? Or remember seeing that?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
It rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, it was like these famous like paintings, and somebody like took them, not the actual paintings themselves, but versions of it.
Yeah, like, and it wasn't just famous paintings, like, didn't they also buy some from garage sales and just paint in UFOs and stuff?
I remember
a friend of mine, a couple of friends of mine, they have this painting that a friend of theirs picked up at a yard sale or antique shop or something for cheap, and they drew in, like, they painted in a UFO with little tractor beams going down. It's like this farm setting cottage, and there's trees and a field, and you got like this flying saucer, classic UFO, hanging out in the painting.
That's what it was. Famous paintings. It was just regular.
No, and I think they did that with famous paintings too. I'm not entirely sure, but I know they did that a lot with just stuff that they found at like yard sales and antique stores, and you know, people just throw out old paintings. They're like, oh, I'll just take this and add some UFOs or an alien invasion or sea monster to it. So
yeah, the one I remember distinctly was there was like a UFO like sitting in the middle of this river or something, and like these alien creatures just kind of like bathing themselves in the river or something like that.
Yeah. So it's just crazy. Crazy.
So yeah, that's my pick. The Great Martian War. Okay. Brad, what did you take into your senses this week?
Well, I've been watching this very strange anime on Hulu, and I think I talked about this in an earlier episode. It's called Space Dandy, and the episode that I'm bringing to the table here is the penultimate episode for this series, which is episode 25, which is called Dandy's Day in Court, Baby. Now, the title of every one of the episodes ends with, comma, baby, because that kind of goes in with the character, this Space Dandy character. And it's really interesting to watch an anime. A lot of the anime that I've seen that's been episodic, that you get bits of the character, and then, like, in the last two or three episodes, they, like, take all these random little bits that they seem to have thrown in. And at the end of this, the 26th episode, the one after this one that I'm talking about, they go, like, way off into left field, and you're like, oh, wow, that's where they're going with this. Okay. So it was kind of, I guess I wasn't disappointed in that regard, because it really did that. But this episode is where they start to grab some of those bits, and they're starting to pull them to the fore before your final episode. And the whole thing about this episode is Space Dandy. Now, let me give you a little background. Space Dandy is a bounty hunter, and his job is to travel throughout the galaxy and find rare, unique aliens and bring them in to an agency for cataloging, essentially. So they're paid a fee for every alien that they bring in that is strange and unusual to catalog, so they have information on other species in the galaxy. In this particular episode, Space Dandy was about to grab an alien, and this alien gets murdered by a baseball. A baseball seems to... And he's brought in and charged with the murder of this alien, because he's standing there in the room. The guy gets hit in the head so hard with the baseball it, like, dents in his skull, and he falls over, and he's dead. So you have a cast of characters that are it's a whodunit, it's a procedural, and a lot of these episodes are kind of send-ups of certain genres of cinema. So you have, like, an episode that is more like a clam bake sort of an episode where he's a surfer. He knows how to surf. You have the episode where he's a rock star as well as a bounty hunter. It's just very strange things. And at the very end of this, they tie this all up and actually kind of give it a semi-legitimate reason why he has all these weird talents and skills that he's exceptional at while he's not the best bounty hunter in the world. So I don't want to give away the end of the episode. You can see this on Hulu, and I subscribe to this on Hulu, and it's subtitled. If you watched it on – it was on Adult Swim, I believe, but it was done in English. So it was overdubbed in English. On Hulu, you watch it. It's in the original Japanese, but it has English subtitles. So it's a 26-episode run. The episode that I watched here was episode 25, Dandy's Day in Court, Baby. It's a very trippy show, but it's really funny. And if you kind of look at all the things that it's trying to spoof in cinema and in pop culture, it's really entertaining. So I would give it a watch.
Brad, are you sad that you don't have any more of these episodes to watch?
With the ending they gave it, I'm not sure that they could do anything more with the characters.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to give anything away, because it's a very interesting concept how they finish it off, but I don't think that they could come back and do more. So
they just blew it up. Just...
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, a lot of anime is like that. It has a beginning, it has an end, at least where they end the story. Could there be more tales? Yeah, usually they leave it open with, maybe we'll do something more with it, but usually nothing ever comes of it. So
it's not like an American TV show where they just keep on going and going.
Nope. The Japanese anime, at least from what I've seen, they get out while the getting's good. They have a beginning, they have a planned end, and that's it.
Although there are a couple that seem to go on forever and ever and ever.
Well, yeah, like at least Bleach. Bleach is still running, I think. I'm not sure about Full Metal Alchemist, but...
No, I think that one finally ended, but isn't Naruto still going on? Or at least it is in book form. They do have a handful. I can't think of it. It was really popular at some point.
If you have a favorite anime show you'd like to tell us about, let us know. GalacticNetcast@gmail.com, 805-328-3966. Okay. did you think of it, Vanessa?
There are some that seem to go on for a while, at least longer than, you know, some other animes that may last a season. Even some British shows just last, you know, like,
oh yeah,
five episodes, and then that's it. They're like a little mini series, and they're done for good. They're like, okay, we only wanted this to be this long, and we're done.
Yep. I think that's the way to go sometimes, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Vanessa. That was great.
Brad.
Sorry. Vanessa, let's wrap up picks with yours.
It was awful. along the same themes of Bigfoot being an alien, I came across this little documentary on Hulu. I came across it a while ago, and I never actually finished watching it because it's an hour, and it's like an hour too long. Well, I take that back. It's like 40 minutes too long. It's called Alien Encounters at Loch Ness. And the question that finally gets asked towards the end is the Loch Ness Monster an alien? And is the Loch Ness Monster one of several aliens that are littered throughout large lakes and whatnot around the globe? So any other lake monsters you may have heard of could all potentially be alien. And initially, when you watch this documentary, they've got people going on their boating expeditions with their equipment and sonar and whatnot looking. And there's a lot of dead time that they could have easily edited out and made this a lot shorter. It's one of those, I'm going to show this guy giving this story about how he was drinking coffee one morning and saw this rock shoot out of the lake and then landed and made this big splash. And then we're going to stick a camera in water for like 20 seconds and just play music before we talk about anything else or go back to a story.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way all those shows go about the Loch Ness Monster.
I know, it's like, let's stick a camera in water for like 20, 30 seconds, play some potentially eerie music that's not really all that eerie, and then go back to the story. And yeah, there was a lot of that. I think if they'd taken that bit out, it would have been about a half hour long show, half hour, 40 minutes at the most. But it wasn't until like the last maybe 15, 20 minutes of the show where the title comes into play with the aliens. And essentially, during the making of this documentary, as seems to be the theme for the making of lots of documentaries, these people were contacted halfway through the making of their documentary by somebody who wishes to remain anonymous. And this person who contacted them happens to be a, quote, well-respected and well-known scientist, and didn't want their identity to be given. But essentially, this scientist was hanging out with his other friends on the lake, having fun, and at the end of the day, they're like, okay, we're going to go home. But he's like, well, I'm going to hang out here for a little bit because I want to watch the sunset over the lake. And everybody was like, okay, cool, bye. And apparently, he saw a UFO in the sky, and as it came down over the lake, the Loch Ness Monster peeped its head out of the water and communicated silently with this UFO, and their interaction lasted for probably a couple minutes, and then the UFO was like, okay, cheers, mate, and like flew off. And and so they think that the Loch Ness Monster is an alien from outer space.
It could be one of those aliens, one of the kaijus from Pacific Rim, because they were aliens going through interdimensional portal or whatever it was.
Maybe. I just think, though, that if they were going to do something, they'd do more than amuse tourists for hundreds of years. So, I don't know. Maybe the kaijus just are more easily amused for extended periods of time. Their time runs differently than our time. But yeah, if you're going to watch this, watch like the last 20 minutes.
Isn't my time your time?
So, I mean, if they're interdimensional, I don't know how this works. But yeah, it was just one of those, the scientist raised the question that, well, he raised a question that, is it possible for the Loch Ness Monster to be an alien or a part of an alien species? And is it possible that these aliens can communicate telepathically? And is it possible that the other similar stories for different lakes having their own lake monster, are these all related? Are they all aliens of the same species hanging out in various lakes around the world, keeping in communication with their mothership? So
it's so funny anything could be alien. It's like they just have to ask the question, could that piece of wood be alien?
My scrunchie, is it alien?
Yeah.
Or should it have been left behind in 1990?
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's make a documentary about it. Let's go.
Done. I've got my little handheld video camera. I could totally make it happen. Shaky footage. We'll dunk it in water a couple of times. It'll be great.
Yeah. All right, so basically this is a warning not to watch this. It's less of a pick and more of a
Yeah, it's more of a, if you see this on Hulu, look for something else.
All right. Thanks for the PSA. Thanks for the consumer alert.
You're welcome.
All right. So yeah, let's review Alien Encounters at Loch Ness. Space Dandy, episode 25, Dandy's Day in Court, baby! And The Great Martian War. And we'll have the links to our picks on the show notes if you subscribe, either through iTunes, Stitcher, or just going to galacticnetcasts.com/subscribe. You know, you don't even have to subscribe, really. Just go to our website and click on podcasts and listen via a web page. You know, the old-fashioned way, via a internet page thing?
Maybe.
Yeah? Okay.
Possibly.
GalacticNetcasts.com is our official website. Like I said, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you're on the old iTunes, go ahead and give us a, if you like us, give us a 5-star and a nice review, because that gets us more subscribers. In the end, it's a win-win situation. Feedback, galacticnetcast.com or galacticnetcast@gmail.com, because I haven't said it enough yet on this episode. 805-328-3966 is the voicemail number. And like Brett said earlier, you can text us via that number as well. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Alien Invasion Netcast number 120 from Galactic Netcast. Thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, Brad, you go first.
I got nothing. Curse you. Why do I always go first?
Well, you got the whole show to figure out what your final thought's going to be, or do you always forget?
I always forget.
All right. I'm going to plant a seed. I'm going to plant a seed, Brad, by asking you a question. Okay. Maybe this will give you a final thought. What did you think of this week's episode, or the debut episode, the premiere episode of The Flash? Did you watch it?
Gonna see it tonight, actually. Okay. After we're done podcasting.
All right, I think you'll like it. You know what's great about TV in Canada? That we have this network called CTV, and they basically pick and choose from American networks, and we've got almost every single comic book TV show on the one network. So nice. So Monday you've got Gotham, then Tuesday you got The Flash, followed by Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So you have DC and Marvel back-to-back on CTV. It's awesome. Nice. It's brilliant. All right. So there's a quasi final thought. Anessa, let's wrap it up with you. What's your final thought?
Kind of want an orange soda.
All right. So we're continuing that theme, the whole eating, drinking thing.
Hey, next week, my bladder's going to be full from all that drinking of sodas that I'm going to be doing. And I'll be like, I have to pee a lot.
Wait a second. That sounds familiar. Haven't you said that before?
Deja vu.
Oh, I don't have that anymore.
Well, you'll have to just take that one that I just said.
What did you say, Brad?
From your rectum.
Oh, that's not very nice.
That's not where you pee from.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not at all. Not from that area. Not even the slightest. Although I will say that I saw on my Facebook news feed yesterday, I guess it was, Dancing with the Stars, Carlton from, Alfonso, I can't think of his
Alfonso
last name.
Cuarón, the director? The great director?
No, the guy that plays Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's on Dancing with the Stars, apparently, and he was doing the dance to It's Not Unusual, and like halfway through, he did the Carlton dance.
Yeah, that was awesome. You knew that was coming. No. You knew that was going
to
happen.
You knew
eventually.
It had to happen, because if not, everyone would have been, like, pissed. And they would have been, disappointed.
And he didn't win. They didn't win that night either, which is disappointing.
Oh, they didn't? Yeah. No, I never actually watched the show, so I don't know. I just happened to see that particular... Well, I saw the snippet of him doing the dance. I'm like, I want to see the whole thing now. So I watched the whole thing, and yeah, I didn't know that they didn't win. So did they get kicked off? Or
no, they stayed on. They just didn't win the night.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as they stayed on, because he seemed to do pretty good.
I didn't watch the show.
I think I watched it for like the first season or two when I had cable, because my mom would always ask me like if I watched it, because she used to watch it. And so I actually had to watch it to make conversation.
Well, it's a nice bonding, mother-daughter bonding thing.
You know, it's always nice. When the World Cup rolls around, I have to keep track of the World Cup because my mom will randomly make conversation about the World Cup. I'm like, I don't remember her watching soccer before. That's just weird to me. Suddenly she talks about sports and dancing. So,
Who knew?
Who knew? Learn things every day.
Yes.
Learn something new every day.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion. Till next week, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.